Now we get to the teaching part. This is the fun part. Well, that's all fun, but this is the teaching part. So a question comes up a lot, and I did put a video on there about how to find your coordinates. Because again, remember, I did the cycles upon cycles, and I think it's somewhere else in this video again, where that there's a 24-hour cycle, there's a moon cycle, there's a annual cycle, there's an epoch cycle. We're like cycles upon cycles upon cycles. Then there's your personal cycle, that what's, you know, your cardinal wind for this year. This is your annual personal cycle at the moment. Then there's your day cycle. And then at any given moment, your coordinates can change, like at the, you know, the snap of a finger, if something triggers you, or, you know, a deer jumps in front of your car, you can move from a different coordinate really quickly. Now, I'm not telling you that to trick you, but so the important part is, so for the rest of the year, you're working with either Uris, the doldrums, the south, the east, the west, or the east, or the north. And so that's the annual cycle. So you're going to use that as the binocular lens that you're looking through 2021 with. Now, something, say something grabs your attention and it looks up at you and you say, okay, what's my current coordinate right in this moment? Like if you were going to pull a wind card and you didn't know which, well, let's just do it. I'm going to pull a wind card. So I pulled shoe. And then they're like, okay, but what direction is shoe in right at the moment? What direction should I read in the book? This is like the most simplest way. Let's everyone close their eyes. Imagine yourself standing somewhere in nature, one of your favorite spots. Look around you. Is it day? Is it night? Are you on grass? Are you on rocks? Are you in the water? Where are you? Get your coordinates so you know where that center axis of you is in this moment. Start to walk in a direction. And look around to see the signpost. Where's the sun? Is it setting? Is it rising? Is there a mountain? Is there a body of water you're familiar with? Because remember, this is a spot you go to all the time. So you should know in your spot what's is north, east, south, and west. And then you say, oh, okay. So everyone identify one current direction that they're in right now. What way are you, what wind are you facing? What wind is blowing in your face? Let's put it in the chat. Good. Was there anyone who couldn't figure out a direction? Doesn't get any easier. It's like, you know, the other thing is you might have your body could become your pendulum. This might take a little training, but you like, this is north, this is east, this is west, and this is south. Close your eyes and say, what direction am I heading? Mine, I tilted north just like the same way as that I was going in the invisible world. So if you don't see very well, you might start to listen to your body. This works for it's a good test. So why don't you try that one too and see if that way works better for you. Close your eyes, stand up. Make sure you're standing with your knees bent a little bit. Loose, loosey gooseys. What direction am I heading? I just tipped the same direction. Like that one too? For those who really don't trust themselves, or if you know what, sometimes when I used to be crazier, I'll say crazier because I'm still crazy as a loon. When I used to be crazier, I'd sit there and ask the tarot cards over and over again the same five questions. Keep getting the same, getting different results, maybe, right? You really don't know what direction you're heading. Pull out your four cardinal cards and pull one. Up, oh, surprise, north again. And sorry, I threw them all over the ground. So there's those are three easy ways to do that. Does that make sense? This work is really simple, guys. It does complex things, but the work itself is very, very simple. All right. So let's talk about I kept seeing on the wall True North. No, we're working with magnets. We're working with magnetism. We're working that mag the magnet of your soul magnet has an agenda for your lifetime. And depending on your beliefs, maybe, someone once told me before I came into this life, I said, oh yeah, throw that on and throw that on and oh yeah, and I'll handle that too. So someone might need to mute. So my soul magnetism is was pointed in the direction of finding the wind work. And all of my lessons and all of my experiences, probably I didn't need them all, but the ones that I probably chose made it a little extra hard to get here. But my soul was aligned to bring in the wind work. So your magnetic sweet spot is to maybe make you the best parent in the world, or to teach, or to whatever it is. And so the lessons that come in are to make sure that you're getting towards the sweet spot in your life. It took a long time to find that sweet spot, and I think that if there wasn't the thirst or the hunger, we could become complacent. You know that you're aligned to your magnetic north when you're passionate about your life. Your needs are met. You obtain measurable results, and you experience a sense of fulfillment through contributing. The important part is through contributing. Not that doesn't that means that the switch goes from your own suffering to your contributions. And that's what going around these cycles does, is it refines us from, it's like they say there's many paths up the mountain, but the view's the same. This is the view from the top of the mountain. This is what happens when we're awakened. Now, that it does not mean that we don't have our bad moments, but the bad moments feel a lot less comfortable. Like, I had a tantrum this week and it didn't feel comfortable and it didn't look good and I didn't like it because I know what the sweet spot feels like. And I don't have room in my life to clean up a lot of messes over and over again because I need to be that. And basically, the wind got right in my face and said, listen, that needs to go. That needs to go so you can stand in your authentic power in a gentle, kind, loving, heart-centered way. And, you know, and do I do it perfectly? Never. But those regressions are like bad hangovers that keep you in bed. So we know that the wind blows in the present. And for those of you who are wanting to teach the wind work, this is the part that you're going to be allowed to teach, is this basic beginning stuff of this, these slides here and stuff like that. So because the wind blows in the present, you can always close your eyes and get your current bearings. So if I'm going north, what I'm trying to do right in the moment is get the community buy-in, get the support, and be aligned with spirit. And sure enough, right before the class, I was trying to get the community buy-in on my new inventory system, you know? So then I might have had to adjust my sales a little bit to get that buy-in. Because we have to wonder, do I want the buy-in or do I want to be right? I want the whole boat going in the same direction. So totally, I'd forgotten about something I had said, because that's how I am. And, you know, I had to adjust. So I adjusted. And then now I've got more of the community buy-in, I think. We'll find out as the boat sets sails. So that's what this is about. It's not like, you know, it's not complex formulas. You got to know where you are at all the times. You got to adjust and catch the wind. Pretty straightforward stuff. So we're going to practice our wind breath again, because this is a really key thing. Because one of the things that I saw was when I was in the middle of my stuff, I didn't get my wind whistle out and blow it. And yet when I was working with a client who was having a tantrum, what did I tell them to do? Get your wind whistle out and blow it. So we've got to remember to use our tools. They're not just they're tools for a reason. It's no different than you pick up a fork to eat your salad with. You pick up your wind whistle to get you recentered. If you don't have it, because wind, we are nature, and nature is everything. I was really excited this week. I learned that my nephew, who's he's 25, and he's a paramedic. He delivered a baby in the ambulance, and I thought to myself, "Well, that must have changed the way you look at the wind. You know, that must have changed the way that you look at life." And he said it did. It was like this miracle that happened right before his own eyes. Well, we are that miracle of the wind. And Carrie, she does hospice work, so she knows her patients leave on an exhale. That last breath is an exhale when we transition back to spirit. So we have this time here now that we get to do this now. So if you have your wind whistles, we're going to practice our wind breath. And I'll repeat them first. You breathe in to the count of 7 to 9. You hold to the count of 7 to 9. You exhale to the count of 7 to 9. And the magic happens in the emptiness of the last 7 to 9. I didn't invent this breath. I did add the wind whistle to it, which wasn't part of it. So on that exhale breath, you breathe out. And since we pulled Shu for our class today, we'll call in Shu and call about some that we're grounded in nature, that there's some separation, that we feel the earth and we feel the sky, and we can ride with that Shu energy. And then we'll, so on the first one, we breathe it out into the earth. The second one, we breathe it out to Shu. And on the third one, we support our community with this. I would like it to be a gold Shu breath today to support all of the great work you've done last month and all of the great work we're going to do together this month. So is that clear? 7 in, hold 7, 7 to the earth. Empty for 7, and really feel that pulse of the mother when you're when you're holding empty. When you breathe in again, it's seven in. We're breathing in shu. We're breathing in spaciousness, separation. Holding it, and then ride where shu's going to take us on the seven out and stay empty in that expanded separation. On the third one, we're going to breathe in seven. We're going to hold it. We're going to breathe out a gold bubble for our whole community that would feel sacred and safe with each other so we can go deeper. And then we'll come back. You might want to close your eyes. You might want to stand up. You might want to make your knees soft. And I'll count the first one, but then the next two, I want you to count to your own rhythm, because I can hold maybe longer than you can, and I don't want it to be uncomfortable for anyone. Ready? Hold it. And breathe it down into the earth, down through your spin axis. Explore the emptiness. Breathe in shu. And breathe out and ride on the separation, that separate wind. Breathe in. Hold it. And breathe out with shu, a golden light bubble around our whole community.
We do have a question.
You're muted.
Trina had asked, does the sweet spot change in respects to direction?
No, the sweet spot's always the sweet spot. You might change in relationship to your sweet spot, but your sweet spot is a state of being. It's a state of peacefulness. It's a state of equanimity. It's a state of presence. So, you know, being present, and being present is the sweet spot. It's where the magic and miracles take place. So what changes is, you know, what path you might need to take to stay there. You know, what sail you might need to adjust. You know, something might be a sweet spot and the situations around your sweet spot change, but your sweet spot is your, you know, and you might be, Bridget and I have talked about these dishas that we do. And, you know, like one of the things the woman said to me was, Wow, you're sweet. You know, like you're really doing great in the manifesting department, Renee. But how are the relationships looking? Or how are the, you know, how is this looking? And that's what ha that's what happens is like to stay balanced in all of them at the same time isn't always plausible. So different aspects of yourself will change as you grow. Does that make sense? So, so we did the wind zip up last time, and since we just did the breathing, I'm not gonna do the whole breath with it. But remember, we the wind zip. Well, I'll show it, okay? All right. So we're starting. I'm facing south. So I'm going to start in the east, and I'm going to imagine blowing, or I'll blow, but I'm imagining pulling a wind as I go from my coccyx up to my top of my spin axis, and I'm blowing the wind to do it. I'm using the wind force of the wind dynamic to do it. And then I'm going to go to the south, and I'm going to extend that up there with the wind breath too. And that would be something that would be really helpful to do every single day. There's a lot of stuff going out there that's hitting us, so we get bombarded. So it's good. So in your groups, you're going to be practicing, the smaller groups, you're going to be practicing either the wind breath or this as a way to open up. Because we want you really to become familiar with this, because one of the things that has really saved me when I've gone down, because I told you I used to swing pretty low sometimes, was that I had good habits. So I want this to become one of your good habits. The wind walk. So the wind walk is a mindful oracle. Like last night, I took like a several mile wind walk along the beach in order to get clarity about this process that I wanted to bring in this week for you. And so, but I was feeling a little scattered when I left. You know, like I was feeling like a little bit out of sorts. So before I got to the process of what we were doing for today, then I did the walk. And I will do this too. Like, I won't, if I bring my phone on a walk to call some friends, because that's the time that I have to talk to people, I will make sure that I finish the wind walk part first. So it's not a wind walk if you're chatting on the phone and, you know, keeping yourself busy. It's about actually consciously saying, I'm going on the wind walk now. And so what I do is, last night it was very clear, okay, what does the group need this month? Where are we going next? Based on the videos I listened to, the chats that I watched, the experiences that I have, what's next? And so I asked the wind that question, and boy, it was the wind was out there because I was walking along on the beach. So it was like more like a, you know, it was more like a hard smack on the cheek than it was a wind kiss. But and then I walked and I observed the signs. I observed the colors. I observed the rock where I had put that altar for us all last month. I pick up sticks. I do take pictures, which I say, I don't know why. I just take so many pictures and I don't even know what I do with them, but I like to take pictures. And then there's a place where everything shifts. Who's taken a lot of wind walks know that place where everything shifts. When you're just all of a sudden, it's like the day shifted. I'm no longer in work mode, but I'm out in nature. That's the point of it, is to find that place when everything shifts. It's like the reset. Any questions about wind walks? Well, last night I was thinking to myself, gee whiz, you need a wind bath. And the wind bath is a way to clear your energy field. You go outside. It's hard to do these exercises inside. You could put a fan, but it just doesn't work the same. You extend your arms, bend your knees, you feel the wind, and you unwind. So you feel the wind coming at you this way. And it's really great because sometimes the wind comes up through one hand and out the other, and you don't even know where. And you invite the wind to wash you, to cleanse you, to pull off any of that excess stuff. And you just stand there and you feel the wind. And then you turn counterclockwise. You're unwinding first. And then you go, and things drop away and things fall away. And then you turn it again. And then you turn again. And sometimes your chakras need extra cleaning so you can clear out all of those as you go. And then when you feel complete, because sometimes it's funny when you're standing there, and I want you all to go out and try this. That when you're turned one way, the wind comes through it one way and clears out other things. And then, when you're clearing out here, but sometimes you need, the extra clearing around the throat. And I will like use another technique I learned from another class where I just unwind and pull it out. But that the wind will do this, but you can tell if it's still stuck there, you can unwind and pull some stuff out too. And then you feel really a lightness of being. And then when you feel that lightness of being, you spin yourself back closed. Now, if you forget to spin yourself back closed, or that's okay because it'll close itself back up in a time. But the thing is you're opening yourself up to really move denser energies away from you. A lot of times they're not even your energy. Especially people like, if you, well, anyone who lives with anyone is hard. So let's just get real. So like the habitual habits you have with your exes or your spouses or your roommates, even the cat sometimes can get on my nerves. It's hard to be in relationship. This is just a way of you having a relationship with the wind to clear yourself. So wind whistling, you've seen me talk about the wind whistle. You've seen me do the wind whistle, but I'm going to give you a little lesson in how I work with the wind whistle. And we put videos in your student area on the website, and then Bridget's made those other sections. So the wind whistle, there's a neck. This one happens to have a hole, and then there's the airflow down here. And inside is this chamber. And it's a it's so it spreads it out and makes the sounds and all of that. But the so I'll use this wind whistle. This one doesn't have a hole. So I hold it in my palm of my hand. Some people hold it this way, but then you're kind of blowing the wind at you. I hold it this way with the sound the going out that way. All right. If you got your wind whistle, try it. Hold it in the palm of your hand. Then I use my hand as a flapper. Flap, flap, flap. And it's funny how when I close my eyes, it's like drumming for a journey. When I close my eyes, the wind quality shifts. I had a client who used to play it like this. Like when you're in that kind of mood, you might have to. That was like you could hyperventilate with this. But what I know happens is breathing out that extra energy brings me back to my center. These are all centering activities because when you call to the winds to come help you, they will. But if you're out there traveling and not in your body with the wind, you'll be like two ships in the passing night. You have to be in your body to do really solid work. I used to have called these channelers and they would, or these friends and they would be channeling this and channeling that. And it was like, but it was through a really cloudy lens of dirty glasses. Because if you're out there, all of those energies love a good host. Any host will do most of the time, but you've got to stay clean. You've got to stay clear. You need that support system because, I have people who tell me when I'm full of shit. And it's staying as true to my magnetic north as I can, that I get to hear really inspired divine messages from the wind or, find the house that's the exact same prices that I have to spend. Just, I mean, these things just kind of line up when you're in the right direction. So the wind spirit cards. Now it's hard to tell from mine because I've got like, bags and bags of them. I was thinking, gee, they're expensive. You should probably not keep opening so many every time you can't find one. But there's 34 cards. There's four cardinal winds, two doldrums, and 28, I call them regional winds. The wind gods and goddesses, energetics, winds from around the world. And the other day, Angie added another one that was one of the winds that I looked at when I was doing these. These are the ones that kind of self-selected for this wind bag. Now, there's more winds out there, and maybe you have a relationship one. We had a guy from the Philippines who was working with another wind one time, and there's many of them out there. These are just the ones that I have. So if you have some other winds that you want to add to your wind sack, I think there's might be even a blank card or something in there. Just make another wind card and add it. There's not like it's not like the tarot that has a certain amount of, I mean, there's 30. It's just not that thing at this moment. That's subject to change because maybe I haven't learned that part yet. Now, I don't want to put these on here to confuse you, but there's practices that wind workers have been using for eons, and one of them is called wind knots. And it's in a class we'll have later on where you learn how to tie knots that you untie when you need some added energy. There's other processes, but this is just one that I thought I would tell you about. They've been doing, you know, the sailors used to go to the wind witches in back in the early 1500s to so that they would guarantee a safe sailing trip home. And so we've learned and we've adapted them to use them for magical charms for this work. You hear us talking about the spin axis. The spin axis is this like invisible axis that connects you through the from the cosmos to the earth. And it's kind of is like the that all of the atoms and all of the that we're all spinning. And because we're all spinning and we're all like these particles of nature, you know, our particles make us look like us, but truly we're one bunch of atoms spinning around an axis of the proton, and we're all connected and we're all one, but we just think we're separate. But this is, we each have our own as well as the big connected one. Now, most of you attended the prayer flag event or watched it afterwards, and something happened. And this is how the wind works. And this is where it gets a little tricky and a little confusing if you're a new student, is that when we asked, I asked for us to re-anchor our point. I had forgotten that last year we had two anchor points. And so what happened naturally for a lot of you was you got a second anchor point. Now, we found those anchor points, that second anchor point was, so if I was anchored, say that I'm in the doldrums this year, that's my key anchor point. My second anchor point for me was up in the north, which means if I think about it this way, so that say the earth shifts off its axis a little bit, which has been happening, you know, the poles have been shifting. And last year, the poles really shifted when the whole world kind of went into a shutdown. It's kind of a big, big cosmic shift. There was something else to hold on to. So when things shifted, there was a second anchor point. Now, if you're new to wind work, I don't really want you to concern yourself with this so much. For some of you who are a little more advanced in wind work, if you did get that second anchor point, what I would suggest would be going out in nature into your altar, your outdoor altar, putting your first anchor point in there and putting something to mark the second anchor point. So if things shift again, so think about this spin axis, okay? And we're holding it, right? So if things in there shift, you're still held in two places. And one of the things that I noticed, and because I marked my two anchor points, was that things shifted. And when I looked at my anchor point a little bit later on in the year, it almost looked like that triangle, isosceles triangle, where that there were, I drew a point to me and I drew it out to these two anchor points. And it was more like a triangle than one anchor. So it puts, it's a little complicated and I don't totally fully understand it yet, but it gives you an anchor in the vertical and the horizontal. So if the world was to tilt off its axis another degree this year by some chance, because we're in between the Holocene and the Anthropocene, so we don't know what the shifts between epochs look like, but it could be a pole shift. And if it's a pole shift, if you're anchored into your cardinal direction and you have a second anchor, if things twist a little bit, you won't get booted off. You won't be off center far. Now, I'm open to hearing from a couple people like my assistants who actually, or Judy or some of the more advanced students who had that double anchor point last year, Heather, you know, how that worked out for you.
Do you want me to actually answer that?
Yeah, you can answer that.
Okay. So for me, it was like, you know, your cardinal wind is your anchor, right? So I was in the north last year. I don't remember where I want to say my second anchor might have been in the east, which is where I am this year. So for me, it was like I'm grounded in the north, right? And then I always think of it as like pitching a tent when you're going camping, right? You've got your anchor, right? And then you need to tether down the sides, right? Because when the wind blows, if you don't tether the sides down, the flaps of your tent are going to go crazy. But if the tents, you know, the tent sides are staked down, when the wind blows, AKA life gets hectic and crazy and unexpected things happen, your tent is more likely to stay in place versus if you just had your one anchor point in the center of your tent. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. That's great. I like that idea a lot. Carrie or Judy or Bridget or Terry?
I had last year when this was first introduced, I had south and west. And so it was very helpful for me to have those two anchor points because I kept, you know, in my spin axis, I kept going between the two. And what did I need to let go of that would help me to be more in between, right? To be more balanced between those two points. And when I got off balance, I had a bumper, is how I like to think of it. It was a place to just kind of extra leaning room, if you will.
Great. Anyone else?
And I'll just say at the beginning of when we started to work with these anchor points, it was confusing, but then you just settle into it and start to think of it as when you know, we're calling them anchor points, it's another way to just get information. And as you go along with it, things start to make sense. Sort of like what you said earlier, Renee, it makes sense when it makes sense. If we try to think our way in to understand it, sometimes it's just like, it helped me to just feel into it, feel the wind and allow it to make sense when it makes sense. And it will.
And for those of you who didn't get a second anchor point, don't worry about it. It came up. So we thought we would include it, because I didn't want to confuse people with this whole notion of it, but some people actually got that second anchor point and it was like, well, why am I here? And then it was like, we realized after what happened, you know, that shift, it was like, well, that wasn't a shift. That was like across the, you know. And so if you have just your cardinal direction and you're kind of really new to this work, please just stay with the cardinal direction. If you've done, I don't want this to throw people off, but I had to bring it up because some people, that's how the wind works. It will have you have an experience when you're ready for it.
Renee, when I don't know that I intentionally had a second anchor point, but what I found was that I was spending a lot of time in a particular direction that helped to form my perspective. Boreas was my cardinal wind last year and my primary anchor. And then the second one was actually notice. Mm-hmm. And it was such an emotional year. And what that did for me was that it gave me a broader perspective when so much was happening all at once. And I don't think that I intentionally drew any second anchor, but I found myself spending a lot of time at my outdoor altar in the south.
And in wind cosmology, I will say that the north and the south winds have been in opposition to each other since the get-go in all mythology. Like the cold north wind comes over, freezes over the land. You know, the people in the communities die of starvation and hunger. And it's always that eager south wind that's going to go conquer the north wind because it's emotional, it's immature, it's the, you know, the reptilian kind of energetic that's going to, I'm going to go get that north wind. And so a lot of times that opposition is between the north and the south, whereas the east and the west wind are a little bit more complementary to each other, where the sun rises and then the sun sets. It's not like cold versus warm, or, you know, it's more like, oh, well, I want to do this new thing. Oh, but my body won't get my, you know, lard butt out of bed. You know what I mean? So there's kind of a working, one reflects back as opposed to opposing. And I believe there's still a lot of work here to do as the exploration. And remember, you guys are the explorers. You're going to help. You're going to help us uncover these in a bigger way, because there's now 45 of you. Whereas, I mean, I was getting this and I was bouncing it off the editor and the other editor, you know, and they were like, you know, one of them was like, where is this stuff coming from? This is new. And then I had, you know, Heather, and then I had, you know, Bridget and Heather and a few people. So we're learning this together is the best I can tell you. We're pioneers of the wind. In 200 years, they're going to think, oh my God, wind knots. Yeah, let's, you know, the family gets together for breakfast and they make their daily wind knots. You know, it's that kind of a thing. So I'm going to move on from here, and maybe we'll come back to second anchors later on. So what we've been talking about, this is a whole awakening compass model of experience. And in this model and in this cyclical experience, you can jump from place to place, but cycles most likely go around from east to south to west to north to east, you know, jump over to east, to, you know, like a growing season. That's the easiest way to look at it, is a growing season. And this is a whole model of looking at where you are. Now, I'll just say, for those of you who have not taken a lot of wind work with me, is that I had a living room full of everyone's cosmology for months and months. What do they think about the east? What do they think about the south? Most traditions are very in agreement about the east and the west, but some reverse the south and the north. And some of that is, you have to remember, I think it's very much we steer from our own wheelhouse. So we have some people in here from Australia. So this is reverse for them. You know, this is, you know, this, their north is in a whole different pole. So if information was on the wind, you know, they were getting different information because they were under the equator. They were in reverse to what we are. So this is like, it's almost like a cutout of time. It's just one snippet of an experience that I plastered onto the wall and said, this is the wind work. And it seems to have some legitimacy, because what we're finding is that, gee, there's been a few of us now, and we're having very similar experiences in these certain areas, in these certain things. So I don't know if that's just because we're all speaking the same language, or if, you know, there's more to this. So I'll just, for now, say that we're speaking the same language. And if you know, in the middle, this is my original design. I created this. In the center is the passion flower. And it's about being in that magnetic north, being in that sweet spot, which is not true north. True north is, I think, 13. There's a degree declinations between these and stuff like that. And they're moving. So best to be aligned to your magnetic north. I mean, this is, I keep always saying, gotta fix this slide, and I always forget to fix this slide. So now we're gonna get into a little bit deeper. We're gonna start to move into the East is Eurus. Again, I picked Eurus because they were easier to say than some of the other cardinal wind directions. And was it random? I don't know. It turns out that I thought it was pretty random until I listened to Greek mythology for a whole day, like 18 hours driving to Washington, when I realized that what the Greeks did was they brought the reason in. And so I thought, oh, well, this is interesting. This is trying to bring in the reason to the winds, or like, you know, the organizational reasoning and stuff like that. So the East is mind, memories, and beliefs. And as I said, most cosmologies agreed with me on that in the Vedic cosmologies, they believe all past, present, and future memories are stored in the East. That, you know, this is beliefs. This is what you think. This is about new beginnings. Nor'easters are when they blow up the eastern seaboard and wash out everything in its wake. So sometimes if you're having a new beginning East experience, everything could be taken, stripped away. You know, just taken down to the nubs. And then you start building again. And it's always going to bring you back to, what's my emotional needs and desires? What do I need? You know, that's south, the notice, the midday sun, where you go out, you plant some tomatoes in the spring, and then by summer in the south, you out there, you're having to weed them or put fences around so that the bunnies don't eat them all. And so this is what do I need and what do I desire? So the south experience is all about that. So if you pick the East for the year, you're going to be working about your belief systems, you know, or new beginnings, or you're going to be looking at past memories, things you haven't dealt with yet, or maybe future memories, things you haven't even encountered yet that, you know, that you might want to retrieve a different destiny for yourself. If you pulled the cardinal south wind this year, you're really looking at, you know, what are my emotions, my needs and desires? What do I really need to be happy? I always tell the story about The Secret where, you know, maybe you don't need a Jaguar to be happy or that big house overlooking the ocean. So it almost set up a fake need like, oh, if I'm going to be happy, I need these things. Maybe we just need, you know, to look and see what's really, really important to you. Zephyrus is about the harvest, physical endings, and death. Now, this could be your death. It could be the death of a loved one. It could be the death of a career. This is a place you get to when you're at the end of one relationship or end of one job. It's the endings. Harvest. We think of like some years the harvest is abundant. There's corn up to your, you know, up. Plenty to harvest. And then some years you have to have a fallow field. You need to turn over the earth so that next year you're going to harvest something. Earth needs to rest in between growing seasons. And then when we go up to the north, we're talking about Boreas. And supposedly in mythology, Boreas lives beyond the furthest mountain. This is the place of spirit. Community, because when two or more are gathered, there is love. There is an energetic that when two people get married, they become a third entity. It's a different energetic. You might go off separately, but there's a third thing that's created in relationship. And support. A story that I like to use is that, you know, I had a healing arts center for years, and here I thought I was standing in the middle of my compass. I've created a center for all of these people to come and be along together and get along together. And Carrie knows this is true. And probably Heather too, because she's in a small community down. You all do. And I know Terry certainly knows it's true. And Judy, anyone who's had a lot of communities know that it doesn't always work that way. you might have a nice big center of light and nobody can get along. Or they all think you're going to do all the schlepping and they're going to ride along on the wind, you know, the tailwind. And so one of the ways that you know that you're magnetic north is when the community starts to align. Doesn't mean you're, you know, that they start to align and support. Like, I knew the wind work was starting to work when I had a community of people who were holding the space for it. Not to mention that the students were showing up to take the course. But even before that, there was a community of people saying, yes, I get this. I buy the in. This is, yes, this is good. This is, I relate to this. So in the holistic network for 10 years, I dragged that community around. I built the website. I did their promotions. And they never gave back. It was just, it sucked me dry. So if you're in a community that's sucking you dry, then there's the community's not supporting your work. Which means you're going to have to go back to the East and look at what you believe about communities and, you know, what you're holding still. You're going to have to go back into the South and clean up any emotional leftovers. And all the way around until it's finally refined enough so that it starts to support itself as you move forward. I know this is a mouthful, so you'll get these slides, but if you're in confusion, you might be in the East. If you can't envision a future or make plans, that's East work. Perception and discernment is East work. We're talking about that the South is the opposite side of the compass from spirit and community, but that South is romance, love, and optimism. It's also fear, scarcity, and greed. Anger, despair, depression, they all live in the South. Self-defeat is very South. New growth, weedling, and tending. Because imagine, when you've got some new weeds growing or new tending in your garden, you can get really self-defeated. It's hard to tell sometimes because you're going to get tossed back into this place whether or not that the idea is bad or you just have more work to do. I always suggest you've got more work to do. And then you'll find out the next time around. It's unpredictable. It's your pimples are under full scrutiny and full light. The West is the setting sun, the harvest, the end of cycles, destruction. We, as a culture, we've been in the West for the last 10 years maybe, and we're just kind of moving into the decay cycle, and we're still over on that side. We're in between epochs. We're kind of in a West to North experience. We had a retreat from our daily routine. That's kind of an interesting one. That's right there. So the spirit is the opposite side from our emotional needs and desires. That means when the phone rings and somebody's dying, you put on your overshoes and go tend to them. You don't, when you're aligned to spirit, it doesn't mean that you get to have it your way all the time. You know, spirit will tell you sometimes that you've got to do this. And you know the difference between when you're being codependent and when you're, like, one of my friends needed me and I wasn't there one night. And that was a real missed opportunity because it was like in the middle of the night and I didn't get up. And, you know, the relationship hasn't been the same since. Now, that's my work to say that I wasn't there. It's her work to deal with how she holds resentments. But either way, we only get an opportunity to show up in certain times once. I think it was Brooke Medicine once who talked about this thing called missed opportunities. It's when an opportunity presents itself and you miss it and the door closes. It doesn't mean that there's not another path up the hill, but it might have been a shorter, more expedient path and you're going to have to take the long way around. So just know that those, and I'm not judging them. I'm just saying that I've had some missed opportunities. We all have. And, you know, this is our purpose. This is our destiny and our service over here. And then there's the doldrums, and this is Aristotle's map, and there was two places where there was no wind. And I think those were actual real places of the necessary gap between things that we need to have and that we're not comfortable with. Like when you retire, it usually takes about 3 years before you find the next thing you want to do, or when you lose a spouse. You have to go through a whole cycle of, I remember when I quit drinking, I had to go through a whole cycle of not drinking for a whole year. Went through the birthday, the holiday, the Christmases, and, you know, and then you can start to think, configure what might be next. And then, you know, like Judy's in a building year, like last year was a year letting go. This is more of the building year, you know, and she'll come out full bloom in the next space. It's a necessary time that we don't allow time for in our culture so much. I'm going back to this, and this is just so you know that there's a daily cycle, there's overlapping cycles, and then there's a bigger cycle that's your life, and then there's a bigger cycle that's the humanity cycles of epochs and things like that. So it's all very cyclical. So the fact that we made it into a linear map makes no sense. So we talk a lot about altars, and the reason we want altars is that it's a place to add your power every day. So when you go back to go back to a place day after day, it collects power. So if you're one who says, oh, but my whole house is an altar, well, pick one that you're going to go back to and visit every day for a month and see how the relationship changes. And we want the outdoor altar that you've been working with, because this is the wind. The wind is outside. And if you inadvertently painted your wind flags with watercolors, then they'll just wash away. And like Terry washed them and can use them again. But that it's impermanent. It's not your altar forever. The wind, your altars is just for this year, this one, the wind flags. This you will be building a living altar, which then brings your altar into yourself. So you become that living altar. So we're working on our outdoor altars that I'm going to invite you to visit. We're going to be working with our prayer flags, which I'm trying to decide when the right time to have that ceremony is. And then that's that. Okay. So now what we're going to do is we're going to go into breakout sessions for about, let me see, 30 minutes. Yum. I was looking at my clock and my neighbor's making turkey. Now that's when the community supports you. One night I'll cook, she'll cook, and it's just like, it's the best thing. So that's like the neighborhood, like the lady said, well, why would you move over across the island when you have such good community support over here? So if you haven't had that, and I know there's some of you who do have that, it's really important, whoops, to have that. All right, so we're gonna go into a small groups. And what we're going to do in there is we want to hear from each of you how you're doing. We want you to check in. We want to hear what your cardinal wind is. And then we want to see how we can support you.